So my name is Pamela Vasanis, and I'm in charge of health and safety for the Union Unite Here that represents hotel workers, airport concession workers, food service workers, casino workers, a certain amount of garment, laundry, and warehouse workers. And I think we have an interesting way that we organize around health and safety. And I've been privileged to work for Unite Here and with Unite Here members and with non-union workers for the past 5 years. So I'm just going to give you some examples of how we do organize around health and safety. And when I say organize, that can be union workers, non-union, first contract, continued bargaining. It is all about union. It is all about organizing, and it's a never-ending process. So. So as Steve mentioned in the different surveys, health and safety is an important issue to workers. And I think it's become increasingly important at the same time that many jobs have become increasingly hazardous. And it is an ongoing process, and it involves workers, and it involves unions, involves employers. It involves relationships between all of those people. Our approach has been a little different than other unions that I've worked for, not to disparage anyone, but it's just been a different experience. And what we find is that there's really a sharing of expertise. So it's not, you know, the health and safety expert at the international directing things. But very much, you know, what are the issues? What are workers raising? Some of the issues that maybe as a health and safety expert we might find to be more alarming, they just might not resonate with workers. And if we push that issue, it's probably not going to get a great response. And so we have to really listen to what are the workers concerned about, and then work with the workers, work with the organizers, follow through on that. And invariably, we do find other issues. And through that process, we're able to, you know, in many cases, tackle other things that we think are important as well. So health and safety is a permanent campaign. It's integrated into all of our campaigns that we have at Unite Here, whether it's food service or hotels or airline catering workers. It's just one of the many issues that we look at and that we mobilize around and educate about. For those of you who have seen some of our presentations over the past few years, workers are the spokespeople. They'll be in the press articles, they'll be interviewed, they'll be speaking at local events, and they tell the story better than anybody else. So in order to make change in the workplace, you need to be involved in making change in the workplace. And the person who has the best position to make that change is the worker. So a lot of the ways we make changes in health and safety is by worker-driven campaigns, their worker activities. So for example, under OSHA, part of the employer having the responsibility to provide a safe workplace, the flip side of that is that the worker has rights, certain legal rights under OSHA. So they have rights to the OSHA logs, which is the employer's record of workplace illnesses and injuries. They have a right to the form that the employer has to fill out called the 301 or the incident form. And so what happens in many of our campaigns is that even if it's a union place, you know, the union rep could just request those logs. But what happens instead is that the workers organize when they're ready, you know, when they have their, you know, people are feeling strong and confident, that's when they request the logs. And they'll petition the general manager, they'll sign a petition, they'll all march in together, and that's how we get the OSHA logs. And it makes a very big difference because it's very much, you know, on-the-ground effort, and that's how we do things, which is different. Now, you can't always do that if you're trying to get maybe, you know, hundreds of OSHA logs, but it's been a very effective way for us to get the information that we need, and invariably when they see the logs, then they can say, well, gee, you know, that's not what happened, or wow, where are all these, where are the temporary, you know, where are the contracted employees? You know, how come they're not on the logs? And that raises, you know, all sorts of other injuries, all sorts of other questions. And then we've been very successful and fortunate of having many allies, other unions, universities, clinicians, you know, many of the groups that were, you know, mentioned before have been involved in many of our campaigns. So, for example, in 2004, we had 400 hotel contracts that were due to expire, and in order to mobilize and get prepared, since the housekeepers were going to be the ones who were really going to be driving the actions in the hotels, we had Pam Talley hold a series of train the trainers with organizers, and then the very next day, Pam led those trainings with the housekeepers, and then the organizers had a role in the small group, you know, small group that we did at the training. And then they would go back home, the organizers, and you know, maybe a month later, they would hold the same training in their city and start organizing with the housekeepers and finding out what were the issues. You know, what health and safety concerns did they have? How did the job change over years? You know, were the beds bigger? Were there more pillows? Were there more things they had to push on their hotel cart? And one of the things that was done in one of my, I think, my favorite part of the training was the whole idea that workers needed to take breaks, and hotel housekeepers, most of them had to work through their breaks to finish the number of rooms they had to do in a day, because their job is by room quota. And so what they were doing was every day they were proving to management, I can do the room quota. Why should management lower the room quota if every day the housekeepers are proving they can do it? Management doesn't have a problem. The quota is getting done. Who has the problem? You know, the housekeepers have the problem. You know, and where do they have the problem? Their bodies. You know, they go home at night. They have to, like, take a hot shower for 40 minutes, you know, take some Advil before they can even try to do their chores at home. So there was this great clock exercise, and where, you know, just counted up all the different things they had to do, and if you added it up, there was just not enough hours in the day to do it. But, you know, if you went through your breaks and you maybe started early and stayed late, you could get it done. And basically it was challenging the culture of work that group of workers had. And then at different places during the campaign, we would organize, you know, on a certain day, the housekeepers would take their break, and invariably they wouldn't be able to finish their room quota. But now, whose problem was that? Management had to deal with it. You know, instead of the housekeepers being the ones to fix it every day by, you know, not taking a break, management just had to deal with the fact now that they were taking their breaks. And that eventually enabled us to win important room quota reductions at the bargaining table when we bargained. Because with, you just think of less room, that's certain less number of times they have to lift a bed, that certain number of times they have to bend over and scrub the floor, that certain number of times they have to reach up high and wash the shower wall. It's all about time and effort. And this is a picture from that clock exercise. So it's all about, you know, deliver hand towels, you know, how many rooms do I have left? And I think this is one of the most popular sessions. Then we, in 2006, we had a major struggle around a living wage ordinance in Los Angeles that because the hotels on Century Boulevard were subsidized by the city. There was certain development funding that was allocated by the city. We were trying to get a living wage for those hotel workers, and it was years of litigation. But we eventually won, and but we did have, we had a fast in December, I believe December of 06, where there were, you know, several hotel workers went on fast. We had, I think, I don't know, maybe, are you from Los Angeles? Were you part of that? We had like, you know, like 300 or so. We shut Century Boulevard down one day. We had hundreds of people come out and demonstrate and do public civil disobedience. And we eventually did get the living wage passed, and we finally, it's finally on the books. But, you know, it was part of that living wage was also allocating a certain amount of money for health, you know, healthcare as well. So it was a really important issue. And, you know, this is just an example of, you know, workers being able to come, you know, to NIOSH town hall meetings and tell their stories. On Wednesday, we can give you a very hot off the press update on an airline catering worker campaign. Pam Telly is going to present, and it's the Fair Contract and Healthy Jobs fight that is actively going on with Sky Chefs, LSG, Airline Caterer here in Denver. And so if you can, 10:30 on Wednesday will be, not only will Pam present, but we're gonna have a worker from one of the Portland airports, I believe, come in and talk about the actions that they did there in their airport catering kitchens around health and safety as part of bargaining. The Sky Chef workers, now I think it's been a year since their contract expired, and so we're going to talk a bit about that on Wednesday. And right now we're finishing up a project where we had dozens of housekeepers across the country complete these injured worker surveys. Also, dozens of them told their stories in longer interviews about their injuries and the working conditions. Again, people delegated and signed petitions for the OSHA logs where they work. They requested their own copies of the employer's incident form about their own injury. They were interviewed about what remedies they thought should exist for housekeepers. How can we change the job? And questions about it, do they have safety bingo on the job? And I don't know if you're all familiar with that, but you know, it's a way of, you know, so that they'll have bingo, and then if there's no injuries that month, then the kitty gets bigger. But if there is an injury, then you stop and you don't get to play bingo. And people get very upset because it can be a lot of money. It creates a lot of division between workers, especially the one who got injured and did report. Those of us in health and safety feel that it really discourages reporting and really interferes with the whole record-keeping standard. But next year, we can tell you all about what happened. That's it. Thank you.